By request, Champions Gate Golf Club in Orlando, Florida.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week you'll get inside information on how to lower your scores through strategy and course management. We'll ask course pros, designers, and architects to reveal their secrets in an effort to improve your game. If you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, subscribe to the Golf Smarter podcast. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Golf Smarter. Are you listening on an iPod right now? If so, toss out those earbuds that come with the unit and get yourself some new Shure E3Cs. Okay, Grant Hansen and Bill Wayne of Shure Personal Audio are both Golf Smarter listeners, and they sent me out a new pair of Shure E3C earbuds, and I'm wearing them right now, and I'm telling you, I love them. Personally, I have a lot of headphones. I've been collecting headphones for years, including noise-canceling headphones by Sony, and these Shure earbuds blow them all away. For richness and sound, clarity, and blocking out unwanted noise, listening to music and podcasts have never been more enjoyable. So thanks again to Grant and Bill, and hopefully when you guys come to Northern California, we'll get to play 18 together. Now coming up, we're going to speak to Ryan Thomas, the head golf professional of Champions Gate Golf Club in Orlando, Florida. This is a first-rate golf resort that you should put on your schedule of golf vacations. They have two very different 18-hole golf courses, a first-rate Omni Resort hotel, minutes away from Disney World, and it's the home of the David Ledbetter Golf Academy. I ask you, does this sound like golf heaven or what? Now, based on your feedback of, I'll probably never play this course. I'm not going to cover a lot of holes and specific details on how to play them for Champions Gate, but Ryan gives us a good sense of what you need to know to succeed when playing on either of their courses. Plus, we're covering this course today because it was requested by a Golf Smarter listener.
Hi, this is Eric Haber from Lake Worth, Florida. I would like you to do a review of Champions Gate in Orlando, Florida. I have played there before, but I'm going back on vacation, and I'd like to get some advice and club selection. The National we found to be quite challenging, and the International a little less, but maybe it was simply because we hit some better shots, but they were both spectacular.
Welcome, Ryan.
How are you doing, Fred?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
And as you just heard, Champions Gate is being brought to you today by Eric Haber.
Thank you, Eric.
You are a very lucky man to be working at a premier golf resort, aren't you?
Oh, I'm extremely lucky. It's a great place to be, beautiful weather, two beautiful golf courses designed by Greg Norman, and it's just a great place to be all around.
But you have two very different golf courses.
We do. You know, the style of the golf courses here at Champions Gate are very unique, and that's one thing that is great about our property is that we've got two options for our guests to play, and two very different options that are both challenging and aesthetically beautiful at the same time. We've got the International Golf Course is more of a link-style layout, reminiscent of what you might find over in the British Isles or Scotland. And we do have the National Golf Course, which is more of a parkland-type layout, you know, more typical American country club-style golf course. But, you know, we've got both of these golf courses here on one property that, you know, really makes it great for the guests because they don't even ever have to leave. They've got, you know, these two courses that they can choose from and get, you know, different playing experiences every day. And especially even if, you know, the conditions happen to be different, if you catch the International on a windy day, and it's going to be pretty tough, and it can be a completely different golf course. But they're both a lot of fun.
Now, I can't imagine that you are in Orlando and saying that people have no reason to leave. It's Orlando, man.
I know there's a lot going on in this city, but we have a lot going on here at Champions Gate too. You know, we've got the Omni Orlando Resort here at Champions Gate that came online with us in October of 2004. It's a 730-room resort and plush rooms, beautiful amenities, great spa. We've got in December our father-son event that is early part of December every year, and that's a spectacular event for us where we have, you know, the legends from the senior tour, as well as you know, very well-known players on the PGA Tour, such as Vijay Singh, Davis Love III, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus. All these guys are out here with their family and playing in our event with the son, their sons, which is televised on NBC in early December. And, you know, it's just great to see these guys out here in this atmosphere. And, you know, it's a very quiet time for them. They're kind of, you know, out of their regular swing of their season, and they're very approachable as far as the fans go. And, you know, it's not huge crowds, so it's easy to see these guys up close and personal. And then
it's kind of like spring training for golf. Right?
Exactly. But, you know, and then it's really, you know, it's a good family atmosphere for them and for our guests as well. And it's, you know, it's great after the event or even before the event, you know, our guests can go out and, you know, play the same golf courses that these guys are playing and, you know, hit the same shots that, you know, Palmer and Nicklaus are hitting. And it's pretty neat to be able to watch that on TV and say, hey, you know, I played that hole, I was in that spot, or I had that putt. So it's a pretty neat experience all around.
And are there age limits for their sons? I mean, do you have sons that are also touring? Or, you know, I mean, are they older or do they play little kids?
Well, the qualifications for the event, mm-hmm. to get into the event, the players have to have won a major. Mm. And they have to have, you know, a son. Actually, this past year we had Fuzzy Zeller. For the first time we had a daughter playing in the event. Fuzzy had his daughter, Gretchen
Good
Zeller.
For him.
Playing in our event this past year that went really well. They were, and she's just like him, you know. I mean, she's a ball energy, super fun, was very cordial with all the guests and with all the staff, and it was really neat having her involved in the event. So, you know, pretty much if you've won a major on the PGA Tour and you get invited to the event and you have a child, then you can participate. So, you know, I mean, we had our past champions this year were Bernhard Langer and his son, Stefan is only, 15 years old, and, you know, they happened to win the event with a birdie on the last hole to edge out Raymond Floyd and his son Robert, who actually eagled the last hole to tie. And so it's pretty exciting, but, you know, they have, you know, Vijay had his son Cass playing this year, who I believe is only 13 or 14,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, they can be pretty young. It's just if the guys want to bring them along.
All right, so you got a phenomenal resort. You got a golf course that invites tours and touring players. You got two Greg Norman designs. I think that's really interesting. You got Greg Norman designing the international and the national course, and he really understands both the link style and the U.S. style of course, doesn't he?
For sure, he does. You know, I mean, he's designed courses all over the world, and obviously has played at the top level all over the world, and you know, has those types of experiences to draw on and bring to his design features. You know, it's really interesting when you play the international course. You know, he really tried to use the theme of the links and try to basically uncover the golf course that was already there on the land, you know, and not do too much moving of earth and stuff. Obviously, there had to be some to get the kind of look that was needed. But, you know, it's a very open course, but it's got a great, just a different feel than you usually get here in the States, especially somewhere that's not directly on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's really a challenging course, but very fair and a lot of fun.
And isn't Greg Norman's design usually known for utilizing what the ground gives him? I mean, he doesn't move a lot of ground around.
No, he doesn't. You know, he really uses the natural features of the landscape as well as even the, you know, the natural vegetation that's already there in place. You know, he doesn't try to add a whole lot or, you know, really change much of what the native species of plants and the way the land looks. So even, you know, when you get out on the national course, you know, we're lucky enough to, the property here at Champions Gate, the area where the international was used to be an old orange grove, and so it was not too many really big trees or anything like that, so it really lent itself well to an open link style feeling course, whereas the national side of the property is bordered much more by forest, and several holes are going in and out through the trees, and some even pass by the old orange grove that you can see, and it's neat in the, you know, in the springtime you smell the orange blossoms. But it's got a great mix of holes over on that course, and it's definitely, you know, built into the natural terrain of the land.
Hmm. I want to talk about a couple of the holes on each course because they sound really intriguing and challenging. But one of the other features that's offered at Champions Gate is it's the home of David Ledbetter's training, isn't it?
It is true, yes. Champions Gate is the home of David Ledbetter's world headquarters for his golf academies. His academy world headquarters is here, so you see, never know who you're going to see walking through the doors here at the clubhouse. You know, a lot of the top players in the world come here and train with David, and when David is not away traveling with his other players, he is teaching out here at Champions Gate, so you'll see him quite a bit out here at the club, and it really, you know, adds a lot to the club. He has a great practice facility over there at his academy. Everything you could ever need, from, you know, sports fitness to Dr. Winters is there as a sports psychologist if you need a little help on your mental game.
Well, you know, I was going to bring that up because I'd really love to get Dr. Robert Winters, who wrote the book The Ten Commandments of Mind Power Golf. I'd love to get him on the show as well.
And I'm sure we'll.
And he,
sure
he's also one of the instructors there, correct?
He is, yes.
Wow.
And he's you know, Dr. Winters is out here every day, pretty much instructing, you know, giving lessons out on the course, playing lessons, or meeting with, he works a lot with young up-and-coming players who are, you know, getting prepared to play at the top levels, and even those, you know, that are already there at the top level. And he's, you know, spent some time playing some tour events himself, so he's, you know, an accomplished player and, you know, a great thinker about the game, and can really help my game and your game as well, and all everybody's game.
There really is no reason to leave.
That's right. Yeah, we you know.
Oh, there's just that little Disney place up the street, only 10 minutes away. But
yeah, you know, if you need to hop over and
send the family, just give them a couple hundred bucks and say, "Go have a nice day."
Send your wife and kids over there, and they can enjoy the parks. And it's just right down the street from us, and you can stay here and enjoy two rounds of golf, play both courses, see Mr. Ledbetter. Dr. Winters, you got it all.
Oh, but, man, you know, now we're really proving that golf stands for gentlemen only, ladies forbidden.
No, don't say that. Don't say that. No,
I don't know the way we're talking right now. It's send everybody else. Get them out of here. Let's talk about the national course for just a moment. Why don't you pick a hole? Tell me what your favorite hole is, why, and how you'd play it.
Well, there's a few of my favorite holes out there, but one of my favorite holes is number 12 of the national. And number 12 of the National is pretty much the highest point on the National golf course, and when the tee box especially. And when you come up over this hill, the number 11 is a par 3 that's kind of down a little bit, and you come up over the hill to number 12 tee.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I have to interrupt.
Sure.
You're in Orlando. What hills?
I know, right?
Orlando's about as flat as Lubbock, Texas.
That's right. No, it's plenty flat, but there's a few little mounds out here.
Okay, and mounds. Okay.
There you go. Number 12 tee box sits up. It's you know, the national course features kind of an out and back design, so the turn is about 2.5 miles away from the clubhouse. So you're pretty good distance out when you're at number 12, and when you're up on the tee box, you've got this look that comes down, and you see this great fairway out in front of you with big, large, white sand bunkers that are one of the defining features of the national course. And then you can, off to your right, you've got a great view of the Orange Grove, and then you see the top of the 13-story hotel coming up over the top of this Orange Grove. And it's just a great look off the tee. And then, not to mention, it's also one of the more challenging holes on the course. It's not a very extremely long hole. Even from the back tees, it's only about 390 yards. But the way that the bunkers are designed, it makes for an extremely challenging choice off the tee. You can either, you know, take some type of iron and lay up short of these bunkers and have a little bit longer shot coming into the green, which is also an uphill shot. But then, you know, you can take a driver and challenge the bunkers, and some of the longer hitters could even carry the bunkers. So it gives you a lot of different choices. You can make anywhere from 3 to 7 in a hurry on that hole. So,
oh, man.
It's a lot of fun.
Let me remind listeners that of Golf Smarter podcast that we are interactive with Google Earth, and we will have at least hole number 12 and everything else we talk about. We'll have the Google Earth tour while you're listening on your computer to watch what Ryan's talking about of how to play hole number 12. But also, if you go to championsgategolf.com, you can see they have a pretty interesting interactive little graphic design of how to play that hole. And now I'm looking at the hole on your website.
Yep.
And that hole's got a lot of bunkers in the way. Now, we call this program Golf Smarter for a reason. It doesn't look like you want to take your driver here if you've not played this hole.
No, that hole really, you know, you're going to get your best percentage chance of making a par by hitting some type of either fairway wood or iron that's going to give you a landing area, which is the largest part of the fairway, and, you know, the coming up short of those bunkers. And it's still, you know, the hole is not extremely long, so you've still got a good chance at getting your next shot close on the green.
And the fairway's not that wide, is it?
It's not extremely wide. When you get down to where those bunkers are, it's very, very narrow. And,
you
know,
you're...
Yeah, the narrowest spot down there where you're hitting, where you could possibly hitting a driver is probably only 10 or 12 yards wide, and whereas when you're hitting an iron or something, you're getting back to more, you know, in the area of 40 yards wide. So you could see that an iron or some type of fairway wood that you're going to hit, you know, maybe 220 yards or so is going to be the perfect shot for you off that tee.
Okay, but chances are you're going to end up in one of these bunkers.
Yeah, if you're taking a driver or something, you've got a good chance of getting in those bunkers.
And now I'm counting eight bunkers. Well, I'm actually counting 12, but from the fairway out towards the green, I'm counting eight bunkers on this graphic.
Yep.
Are they unique? Is each bunker unique? I mean, as you get closer to the green, do they get deeper? Do they get more shallow? Does the sand get softer? Or is it they're all the same? And
the bunkers are pretty uniform. There's some bunkers that are very short near the beginning of the fairway that are more waist type bunkers. But those aren't going to come into play unless you hit some kind of top shot or something off the tee, which we definitely wouldn't want.
Right,
but
right.
The bunkers are just very large. They're, you know, the lips aren't extremely high, but, you know, they are kind of leaning uphill because, you know, you tee off from a perch on top of the mound and then you kind of go downhill. And as you're coming back up, the bunkers are slightly inclined uphill. So, you know, but the design of the bunkers are relatively consistent, and the sand and the way that we maintain the bunkers are definitely consistent, you know, throughout the fairway bunkers and the greenside bunkers on that hole.
You're killing me here. And you're saying that the National Course has a lot of bunkers on it?
It does. Oh. It does.
Okay.
Courses. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. What I need to do then is ask you, when we practice, when we're preparing to play the National Course at Champions Gate, give me a drill. Help me. How do you keep your mindset? You know, some people love to end up in the bunkers.
Right.
And some people freak out.
Well, you know, one thing that you're going to encounter a lot when you're playing the National Golf Course is that you're going to be in a lot of fairway bunkers. So, you know, you really want to, you know, thinking about hitting a fairway bunker shot, you know, there's several thoughts that you want to have when you're preparing to hit the shot or doing drills or practicing. And, you know, personally, the big thing about a fairway bunker is going to be the point of contact with the golf ball, and you want to make sure that you're getting a very clean strike on the golf ball. You know, we don't want to take any sand where we're going to be, you know, hitting the ball fat and coming up short of our target. So,
right.
You know, it's very important that we get ourselves set up in a way to give ourselves the best chance to make a solid strike, you know, hitting the golf ball first. So, you know, when I hit this shot or practice this shot, you know, I'm going to get set up pretty much how I normally do. However, I'm going to play the golf ball a little bit further back in my stance.
Okay.
And this is going to help me impact the ball with a descending blow and ensure that I'm probably not going to hit the golf ball fat. So I'm going to play the golf ball a little bit further back. And one of the things that really helps me, probably helps me the most when I'm in a fairway bunker, is when I get over the shot, I'm really trying to set my body up to the terrain. In other words, I'm trying to make sure that I'm setting up in a way that I feel like when I'm over the ball and hovering my club, doing my waggles, getting ready to hit the shot, that I feel like my swing is going to bottom out at the golf ball. You know, I want to feel like when I make this motion that I'm going to be fully extended at impact and my swing is going to be bottoming out at the golf ball. It's not going to be bottoming out before the golf ball or after the golf ball. I really want to get a very steady feeling with my body when I'm in the bunker, especially when I'm in a fairway bunker. So, you know, the key is getting set up in a way that you feel is very steady, and that as you're making your swing, as you're rotating the club around your body, that you're going to keep the level of your body to the ground consistent. In other words, you're not going to be standing up or bending over or changing the height of your chest in relation to the ground at all. Because, you know, when you're hitting or you're swinging a golf club at any time, you can think the club is rotating, you know, around your body in a circular motion. And if the center of that rotation, your spine or your chest, if that angle is changing as you're swinging, then the bottom of the swing, wherever that bottom of that swing is going to be moving up or down. And so that is going to lead to a very inconsistent strike of the golf ball if we're changing the angle, our spine angle, or our relation of our chest to the ground at any time during the swing. So in the fairway bunker, again, we're going to play it a little bit further back, and we're going to just feel like we're very, very steady as far as the height of our body and the height of our swing as we're swinging. So when you're making that circle around, you're going to stay very steady and very smooth so that the swing bottoms out at the same place every time. And, you know, that's probably my biggest thing for me is that I just try to envision in my mind when I'm over the golf ball that, okay, I'm going to feel my swing bottoming out at this point, wherever that is, where the golf ball is.
That's great. Thank you. Oh, yeah. No, that was awesome. That was really good. But in listening to you, I'm thinking about opportunities to practice a fairway bunker shot. Mm-hmm. And I know that anytime I've been able to do some shots out of the sand, it's always onto a green. It's right there. You know, those bunkers.
Right.
Have you ever seen a place to practice hitting the ball far on a bunker?
Sure, you know, and that's one of the features that we have down here at the Ledbetter Golf Academy is that you can practice from all kinds of different lies, and
awesome.
You know, bunker, fairway bunkers being one of them. So, you know, I mean, either you've got two options when you're practicing fairway bunker shots. Either you're lucky enough to find or have a golf course that has, you know, that type of feature on the practice facility, or you'll have to go out, you know, late in the afternoon or something when you can utilize some time out on the golf course when there's not as many players, and maybe you can take a few extra shots from one of those fairway bunkers. But, you know, it's nice to have a place like here at Champions Gate where you can actually work on that kind of thing on the practice facility.
Great. Let's pick another hole. On the national
course. You want to go to the national still?
Yeah, please.
Okay. National course number 5.
Okay.
National course number 5 is probably the trickiest hole on the golf course. You know, for the most part, everything is right there in front of you on this golf course, but the number 5 is one of those holes that if you haven't played it before, it's going to be really tough.
Oh, that's nasty.
And, yep. So it's one of those holes that you definitely need to think a little bit about, and it definitely helps to have a little bit of advice before you play it.
Well, then give it to us, my friend.
Yeah, it's one of the greatest short holes I've ever played. It's last year, the Orlando Sentinel here, our major newspaper publication in Orlando, did a story on the 18 toughest holes in Orlando. And we had two of our holes here at Champions Gate made that list, and number 5 was one of the top 18 most difficult holes here in Orlando.
Well, that makes it a destination in itself.
That's right. And, you know, you can imagine how difficult it must be. It's only 323 yards from the championship tee, so it's very short. But it's very difficult. It's, you know, when you're standing up on the tee box, it's a slight dog leg left, but everything to the left is all marsh and water and cattails and just, you know, snakes and alligators.
Yeah.
Nothing that you want to get involved in. And then on the right-hand side, there's, you know, tall trees and some big bunkers, and that's just off the tee. And once you get down, once you successfully navigate that tee shot, you're going to be left with a shot into a very small green that is basically an island among two gigantic waste bunkers that surround it. And, you know, the green kind of sits up, so anything that's a little bit off is going to roll off the sides down into one of those bunkers. And being waste bunkers, you don't always get the best lie in the world in there.
Okay, I'm going to play stupid for a moment. Can you explain to me a waste bunker?
Yeah, a waste bunker is going to be a bunker that's not entirely enclosed by grass, and that is and it's actually a place different from a regular bunker that you can actually ground your club in a waste bunker. Basically, you know, it's going to be a sandy area like a bunker, but it's not enclosed in grass and it's not maintained like a bunker.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Well, what do you mean you can grind your club? I thought you can't do that. Boy,
you cannot ground your club if you're in a bunker, which is considered a hazard.
Right.
But a waste bunker, like if you remember, I believe it was last year or the year before when Stuart Sink won the tournament at Harbortown. And he was on the eight. You know, Harbortown course has got that lighthouse right at the end of the 18th hole. Mm-hmm. And right by the 18th green is they have a large waste bunker. And Stuart Sink's ball ended up in this waste bunker, and he didn't have the best lie. And he got a ruling from the rules official, since it was a waste bunker, that he could move loose impediments. And so he cleaned a little bit of the debris away from behind his golf ball, got a perfect lie, got up and down, and won the tournament.
Wow. So, well, thank you for that explanation.
Pays to know your rules sometimes.
Yeah. But, all right, so now let's go back to this Disney ride, which is, it is a Disney ride. It's like Pirates of the Caribbean, hole number five at the National Course.
Yeah, you know, the most important thing to me with number five is the tee shot. And the most important thing to me hitting that shot is getting a club in your hand that you're the most comfortable with, that you can hit a solid straight shot. And let's say we're playing the back tees, you're gonna want to carry it at least 220 yards, maybe 215. But if you want to get something that's, you know, going to carry you at least that far, but that you're very confident that you can hit a solid shot with, because anything offline or a little bit short is going to get you in a lot of trouble. So, you know. And, you know, this kind of gives us a good opportunity to talk about, you know, the course management of this hole and really anytime you're hitting a difficult tee shot. And, you know, one of the things for me when I'm hitting a difficult tee shot or a shot, you know, and when we think about a difficult shot, it's basically what we're seeing in front of us that is intimidating us or making it difficult, you know. And for me, I really try to get, again, a club in my hand that I'm extremely confident in. And then I'm going to just decide that I'm going to hit a normal shot with this club. And, you know, and I try to pick out a target, a very safe target on the hole, where, you know, it's going to keep me away from the trouble. But, you know, again, I'm going to get that club that I'm confident in and that I know that I can just make a normal swing with. So, you know, once I pick out my target, instead of worrying about, you know, all the trouble left or right or short or where exactly I'm going to put it, I'm going to think about, okay, I'm going to make my normal swing with this golf club. And if I make my normal swing with this golf club, it's going to be okay. And so, you know, basically I'm setting myself up for success before I hit the shot by trying to think positively and get a club that is going to give me the best percentage of hitting a quality shot. So, you know, number five, get something in my hand. I'm going to hit about 220, and that's going to carry me over all the trouble, but it's also going to keep me short of the bunkers. So it's going to get me into that ideal landing area. So I make my good swing with that club. I'm in the middle of the fairway. And now I'm going to have some kind of short iron or wedge in my hand into the green. And this is one of the greens, again, where you want to hit a shot where you are very comfortable with. You know, and for me, hitting a shot into this green, I'm basically always going to just try to hit something into the middle of the green, because it's not a very large green anyway. So even if you're in the middle of the green, you're still going to have, you know, a relatively easy putt at birdie, and definitely an easy two putt for par. Whereas if you're trying to go at a pin that's a little up on the front or a pin that's in the back, it's really easy to fall off the side of the green and end up in one of those waste bunkers.
So no matter what, you should be aiming for the center of the green.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Wow. All right. Let's take a quick break here, and then when we come back, let's talk some. Let's pick a couple of the international holes that are representative of to that course. And talk a little bit more about Orlando.
Sounds great.
As we make the turn, we want you to know that we're taking requests. If you'd like us to feature a specific course on Golf Smarter, our email address is golfsmarter@teetour.com. That's golfsmarter, one word, @teetour.com. Whether you're planning a golf vacation, playing in an upcoming tournament, or have a favorite course for which you have a question, please let us know and we'll do a show just for you. Again, here's your host for Golf Smarter, Fred Green.
Okay, we're back with Ryan Thomas, who's the head golf professional for Champions Gate Golf Club in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, hello.
Hello, hello. Ryan, generally we have to talk about one golf course, and even if a property has two golf courses, they're somewhat the same. But this, you've got two completely different courses. And sure, one of the things I like to know before I'm going to go on vacation, and this is a place that people are going to go. I frequently get email from my listeners who say, yeah, I'm never going to play that course. No, no, no. You're going to go to Orlando and play this golf course.
That's
this
right.
is a real destination place. But what club should I be practicing with at home that I'm going to need in my bag to pull out when I play either of your courses?
Well, you know, the international golf course, you're really going to want to work on your shots off the tee. It's quite a challenging course off the tee. I mean, it's a challenging course all the way around, but it's got some length to it. So you really want to work on, you know, your driver or any kind of long irons or fairway woods that you may hit off the tee, but especially your driver when you're getting ready to play the international golf course, because it really helps when you're playing that golf course. If you're putting yourself in good shape off the tee, it's going to make it a lot easier on you. And the course can be difficult if you're having long shots into the greens, because the greens have a lot of chipping areas around them and they're very quick, so the ball tends to run away. So you want to be in good position off the tee to be able to come into those greens. And I think probably the most important club on either golf course to work on is your putter. You're going to come here, and that's one of the great things about the courses here is you're always going to experience green conditions that are better than any in the area. The greens here are absolutely perfect. We have a wonderful maintenance staff who works hard every day keeping them in top condition. You know, that one of our things here is that we really try to pride ourselves in keeping our courses in tournament playing condition, you know, year round, other than obviously the times when we're having to do routine maintenance or aerification, that kind of thing. You know, the golf courses are always going to be in great shape, and the greens are always going to be rolling really, really well. So you're going to have an opportunity to make a lot of putts out here, because the greens are very true and very smooth. So if you're spending some time at home or in your office putting on the carpet, use that putter and get ready to make a lot of putts when you come down here to Champions Gate.
But don't use your driver in the office.
That's right. Unless you got a nice big open window.
Yeah, exactly. Right? But you talk about the agronomics and the maintenance that's done on your mm-hmm. course, and it's top rated. But it extends beyond the on the course. It goes into the clubhouse and all the way as you pull up, isn't it?
For sure, yes. You know, we really pride ourselves in the level of service that we offer to our guests. You know, here we really try to give everyone an ultra personalized, world class experience when they come to Champions Gate. You know, we have people traveling from all over the world, as far away as Japan, Australia, and you know, right down the street here in Florida or Georgia or you know, all parts of the United States. But you know, a long story short, we really want these people to feel like they're a member for a day when they come here to our club. And, you know, everything from, you know, greeting the guests when they come up inside into the clubhouse and, you know, all of our staff, we try to recognize the guests by name whenever we see them. You know, one thing our staff does is we have internal communication with radio earpieces where we can speak to each other, you know, no matter where we are on property without our guests, without interfering with our guests, but we can make it a very seamless experience from when our guest, you know, Mr. Green comes in and pulls in our valet, and by the time he comes inside, he's going to be greeted by his name personally when he comes to the counter.
But I've already told you to call me Fred, not Mr. Green.
That's right.
Then I'd be really impressed.
Yeah. But no, we really want people to feel like that they're at home here and that they're getting a level of personal experience and service that they wouldn't necessarily get anywhere else. And you know, I get emails every day and bookings all the time from you know, guests inquiring about the club or coming down here, and you know, we really try to make it a point, especially when we get groups like that, is to, you know, inquire as to, okay, who's playing in your group, and get everyone's name, and you know, we'll have the golf carts with your name on them personalized waiting for you in our valet area when you arrive, and you know, you pull out and you get out of your car and your cart's sitting there right there with your name on it. And you know, we can have that experience kind of perpetuated throughout the property. And we do a significant number of tournament outings and group outings a year. We did over 350 in 2005. So we do a lot of corporate events and a lot of tournaments. And, you know, we're very good at doing these because with the level of service that we provide to the guests.
No, that's quite impressive, and that's going to bring people back. That's awesome.
It is. And, you know, it's something that's helped us be recognized by Condé Nast as one of the top 100 resorts in the world. And we hope to continue those efforts and move ourselves up towards the top of that list.
Well, I hope you do too, and I hope that Golf Smarter helps.
That's
now, let's
right.
go. Let's go to the internet. Stop laughing.
No. Sure.
Let's go to the international course. Why don't you tell us your favorite hole here, how about the most challenging hole on the international course, and why?
Well, to me, the most challenging hole on the international course is probably one of the most challenging holes I've played anywhere, any golf course throughout my life. It's the sixth hole on the international. And from the back tees, from the championship tees, it's a par four measuring 496 yards. So you can imagine right there is a big part of the difficulty in that hole. But it's just the hole never lets up. You know, it starts off with its length. It's demanding off the tee, and right when you get over to the fairway, there's quite a large landing area short. But as you get closer down, there is two lakes. There's a lake on either side of the hole that really pinches the fairway in down to about 20 yards wide at its narrowest point there. So you can imagine that you're trying to, you know, get as much distance as you can off that tee, but you're also, you've got to worry about this very small landing area if you choose to hit a driver. Now, from the back tees, you can pretty much hit driver and swing as hard as you want because it's quite a long way to that landing area. But when you're on the forward tees, it's definitely a very important choice in what club you're going to hit because, you know, if you lay up with a shorter club, you've got a very large fairway to hit into. And it's an easy tee shot then, but then you're going to have, you know, over 200 yards going into the green, which, you know, makes that very difficult. So it's kind of a risk-reward hole, but, it's just difficult all the way around. Because even once you do find the fairway, you're going to have some kind of, you know, 200-plus yard shot into a green that, you know, has bunkers down on the left side. Again, one of the defining features of the international course is more of these small link-style bunkers, almost the pot bunkers, but are very strategically placed by Norman so that they always seem to be so small but come right into your line of play.
And are they deep as well?
You know, just a few places on the golf course. But for the most part, they're not extremely deep. They're just they're small but very numerous.
And what about the rough? I mean, I can see where the water pinches in the fairway there and makes it quite narrow, but it seems like there's a fair amount of rough there, too. How disastrous is that?
There is a fair amount of rough there on that part of the course. But, you know, the rough in general is not too difficult on the international, and we try to keep it a very fair length.
On both courses or just the international?
The international especially. I mean, it's very fair on both golf courses, but, you know, it's important for us on the international course to not make the rough too penal just because of the difficulty of the golf course in general. If if it was 3 or 4 inches deep on the rough, as well as, you know, having the other difficulties of the course, then it would be, you know, almost, you know, too tough to play. So we keep the course very fair and the rough, you know, at a very reasonable length.
Awesome. Wow. Why don't you explain to me what you see as common mistakes that are made on the international course?
Well, one of the most common mistakes, and actually this is kind of before you even play, is a lot of times people just choose the wrong set of tees to play. You know, that's one thing about the international golf courses. You want to make sure that you're choosing the set of tees that's going to be most appropriate to your level of play. And as long as you do that, you're going to make the course very, very enjoyable for yourself. You know, we get some people out here that will try to play the back tees, and it'll be extremely long for them and can be very difficult. But once you get on the right set of tees and we have a guide on our scorecard as well as our starter out on the first tee. We'll go through this information with our guest and try to steer them to the appropriate tee for their handicap. But, you know, once you get on the appropriate tee, the golf course is going to be extremely fun and much more enjoyable. But
challenging, yet rewarding.
Exactly. Exactly. You want to make something that is going to be challenging, but that's not going to beat you up too much.
What about these idiots like myself and my friends who like to play 36 in a day? Is this a good thing to do, or are you really going to rip your brains apart if you try to play both these courses in one day?
No, you know, I think it's a great thing to do. Yeah, we have several of our guests that choose to do 36 in a day here, and you know, especially a lot of the people that stay here are a guest of the Omni Hotel here that's right on property, because you can do 36 and go sit in the lazy river or the pool and enjoy yourself afterwards. But, you know, again, the golf courses are so different that that it's great to play 36 in a day, because it's like you're playing, you know, two different worlds. And You know, again, as long as you're choosing the right set of tees, the golf course is going to be very enjoyable for you. And, you know, the national course is a little bit easier than the international. So, you know, a lot of times it just depends on what you want to do. So a lot of people want to play the international first and play the most challenging and then, you know, have a little relaxing round in the afternoon on the national course. Or some people want to get tuned up on the national course there in the morning and come out and really go for a challenge in the afternoon on the international. But, you know, both golf courses, if you're going to play the back tees, are a good challenge, both of them. You know, this past year in 2005 was the first year that we had one of our rounds for the father-son event actually played on the national golf course. And some of the tour players actually liked the national course better than the international. So both golf courses are really, really great.
As a golfer, not as a golf professional, but as a golfer, tell me the best advice you've ever received.
As a golfer, the best advice I've ever received.
And that you'd like to pass along to us.
Okay. I got two things.
Okay.
I'll give you one thing for the mental game and then one thing for your short game.
I love it.
The best advice probably I've ever received for, you know, actually playing the game and approaching it mentally is to do it the same, to hit every or approach every shot the same way every time. You know, physically you're going to do different things before each shot, or, you know, you're going to take three practice swings or one or none, or, you know, you're going to be doing different things physically. But the way that you approach each shot in your mind and the steps that you do mentally to prepare for a shot, whether it's visualizing the shot first or choosing your club first or whatever it is, basically you want to get a mental routine that's, you know, 20 seconds long that you do every time before every shot, so that basically you're trying to make every swing feel the same. And that's kind of what it comes down to for me is making the tempo or the pace or the time it takes every swing to feel consistent and feel the same.
Good.
And a good just mechanical short game tip that my instructor that I grew up learning from in Atlanta taught me was just about kind of a little ratio that you can use around the greens when you're hitting a chip shot. And now we're talking about like a chip shot, not a pitch shot, but a shot where we're going to have at least as much room for the ball to roll on the green as we do carry. So in other words, the amount that the ball is flying in the air versus the amount that it's going to roll on the green is going to be equal. So say I'm 10 feet off the edge of the green, and I'm going to hit a chip shot, and it's going to carry 10 feet in the air to the edge of the green, and then say it's another 10 feet to the hole. So that's 10 feet in the air and 10 feet a roll. So that's 1-to-1 ratio. So
I've looking heard at it's thirds.
Yeah, that's one way to do it.
Yeah.
But what I try to do in my chip shots is have a one consistent swing for that type of shot, but I'm going to change clubs depending on what my ratio is. So let's say that I'm going to carry the ball 10 feet in the air and then I want it to roll 10 feet on the ground. So that's 1-to-1. So I'm going to start with my sand wedge. Okay. So my chip shot with my sand wedge is going to give me a 1-to-1 ratio. And then let's say I have the same shot to the edge of the green, another 10 feet to the edge of the green, but now let's say the pin is 20 feet on the green. So I've got 10 feet of carry in the air, and then I've got 20 feet of roll out on the green. So now I've got a 2-to-1 ratio, so I'm going to bump up to a pitching wedge. And so then I'm going to keep going that way. So let's say I've got 10 feet to the edge of the green and then 30 feet to the hole. So, you know, 10 goes into 33 times. So then I've got sandwich fishing. Now I'm going to be up to a 9-iron. So what I'm going to do is try to have the same type of swing for each chip shot, but if I have more or less roll, I'm just going to vary the club that I use. And so what this can do is really make your short game and your shots around the green very consistent, because basically, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be doing the same swing every time. And the way you're going to work this swing is that you're going to start with a slightly open stance, feet very close together, maybe, you know, a foot apart or less, and you're going to have the ball kind of more towards the back of your stance. And then the key part of this shot is when you're set up, you've got the ball in the back of your stance, you've got your hands on the golf club, And what you're going to imagine is that the butt of the golf club, the end of the golf club, is like the barrel of a gun or a machine gun, and it's constantly shooting out bullets. Okay, and you're just imagine this club is shooting out bullets out the end. Now, when you're set up, it's because the club tilts forward, the bullets will be shooting to your left or past your body. Okay. Now, the important thing to remember is while you're doing your little chip stroke, your little swing, is that you never want to get shot by this gun. So a lot of times what we do, a lot of amateurs are going to be hitting a lot of chip shots fat, or you're going to be hitting it a little bit thin. And this is because you're changing the angle of your wrist, because you're releasing the golf club or not releasing it. So you can imagine if you're swinging and you're breaking your wrist down as you pass through impact, then the grip end of the golf club is going to be pointing back more towards your stomach. So it's going to be like you're getting shot by this machine gun. Okay, so basically what you're doing is you're changing the area that your club head is going to be impacting the ground every time if you're changing the angle of your wrist as you're swinging through the shot. I don't know if that makes sense, but so basically what you're going to do is you're going to feel like the club head, you're going to set up with a golf ball behind on near your right foot. You're going to have your club head, or excuse me, your hands in front of the golf ball, you know, kind of push forward over towards your left, and you're going to feel like you're not getting shot by this machine gun. And you're going to feel like you're taking the club head back just a couple feet, and then you're going to follow through twice as long as you take the club back. So it's almost like a short little putting stroke. And the thing is, if you can get this stroke down, then you're going to be swinging the same way every time, and you can just change your golf club to get the different distances that you need for your chip shots.
I'm standing here doing this.
That makes sense?
Yeah, I'm shooting myself in the stomach here or avoiding it. This is good. Yep. Good.
And you know, another way you can think about it too is to get a broom, like a long-handled broom, and just grip about halfway down the broom so that the actual broomstick is going up past higher than your waist to your left. So then, if you're releasing, and another thing, if you don't have a broom handle handy, you can just grip about halfway down the golf club so it's up by your side.
Right.
And as you're swinging through, if you're releasing, you're going to be hitting yourself in the side.
Well, take a driver, right?
Yeah, you could do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're losing that angle and releasing the club, you're going to be hitting yourself in the side.
I see. Okay. That makes sense. I like that.
It's a good little tip for
good
for
little
tip.
Thank you for the good little tip. I like that.
You got it.
All right, why don't you tell me if I'm bringing my buddies down or actually, I'm not going to take my buddies to Orlando. I'm taking my family.
There you go.
We're going to Orlando. I need to book a couple tee times. I want to get a room. Tell me how to do this.
Well, there's several ways to do it. One of the most convenient ways is to actually just go on our website, and championsgategolf.com, and you can go straight to our website. And
Which is quite rich, actually. I've been doing it as we've been talking.
And over on the left-hand side, you'll notice a icon up near the top, right under our logo, that says make a tee time online is, I think, the exact verbiage on
actually,
there.
Actually, yes, it is. Yeah.
And you can click on that spot right there, and that'll take you directly to our website that interfaces with our tee sheet right here at the golf course. And so you can request a specific time, a specific number of players, and it'll give you an exact tee time and the exact cost for the golf course.
No, wait a minute. Do I have to pay more because I'm from out of state? Is that why I have to be a non-Florida resident?
Well, we have two options there when you book online.
Mm-hmm.
If you're here in Florida, we do give a discount if you have a Florida driver's license and to our Florida residents, but you have a much smaller window of your time that you can book to receive that discount.
Okay, that's
fair. So, you know, you're only getting like 3 days to a week advance booking if you're going to get that Florida resident discount. Whereas,
Wow. You
know, if you're staying out of state, you can book, you know, much farther in advance and you know, have much more tee times open to you.
And when you do book that and you come down, why don't you stop by and say hi to Ryan and tell him you heard about it on the Golf Smarter podcast?
There you go.
I'm sure he'd be happy to take care of you.
Definitely. But yeah, you know, our website is a great place to start. It's got links directly to our tee times. It's got links over to the Omni Orlando Resort, which offers great stay-and-play packages where you can pay for everything and all in one package and have your hotel stay and your golf and everything included. You know, they've got great amenities over there, great restaurants, everything you could ever need right here on property.
That's fabulous. That is great. Okay, I've checked everything off of my list that I wanted to ask you about today. That was really a lot of content. Thank you so much, Ryan. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Fred. Anytime.
Ryan Thomas, head golf professional at Champions Gate Golf Club in Orlando, Florida. Hey, don't forget to check out Bunkershot.com, our favorite online golf magazine, for news, articles, and more. And just want to know, have you ever read the book Golf in the Kingdom? If so, and it's been a while, you may want to look at it again. And if not, you're missing a classic in golf fiction. I bring it up because coming up next week, we've got a really interesting interview with the author, Michael Murphy. So make sure you tell your friends to check out the Golf Smarter podcast and tell them how it's impacted your game. Please? Okay, that wraps it up for today. And think about this. If you don't hit the short grass, it's okay. You could still par the hole as long as you golf smarter. Thanks for listening. I'm Fred Green.